our next guest, much like our co-host Sat, is on vacation, kind of. You wouldn't tell by his Twitter account, and he's breaking all sorts of news, and he's agreed to join us today, Elliot Friedman, our weekly visit, Sportsnet NHL insider, and 31 Thoughts brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view is better from here. We thank you, and we apologize for ruining. I knew it, though. I called this before I left. I knew you'd come on. I knew it.
Can I, since you are right, can I, like, hang up and then declare you wrong?
It would be, I feel like that would put us on, like, Deadspin. Angry NHL insider hangs up on radio show. So, yeah.
Oh, you know, I got to tell you, though, Walker, like, some of my buddies who still live in Vancouver, they were so excited to hear I was on today because I guess they were sending me, like, all these angry tweets from Canucks fans about, like, the return to play in the CBA. Like, I don't know. I haven't been paying attention, really. But I guess everybody out there is mad about the CBA rules and stuff, and they were sending me angry tweets. And they're like, oh, we can't wait to hear what you come up with. Like, he said they're like, this city is boiling right now. You're going to send us all over the edge.
Well,
so
yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, well, let me give, yeah, a little backstory. I was going to say thank you for putting me in the crosshairs again, because at the beginning of the year, my take was, and it kind of still is, that the Vancouver Canucks cap scenario, while not ideal, is not as bad as everyone makes it out to be. They're going to have a plan. They're going to get through it. It's not purgatory. It's not great, but it's okay. And yes, and the CBA comes out, and people are talking about the cap recapture again. And I don't know what radio show that you were on. You said something to the effect of, "Hey, Vancouver is one of those teams that's going to be, you know, have a lot of tough decisions." And yeah, and that made everybody freak out and basically say, "Oh, you're telling me there's no cap problem." So that's part of the genesis to it, I think.
Oh, good. I'm glad that I could cause you a lot of aggravation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, it is Tuesday.
Well, I heard that people were mad about the cap recapture too. Is that true?
Well, yeah, but I mean, yes, and listen, the Luongo thing, we all know it's so stupid, and I mean, I don't understand it either. But you knew the stuff like the Weber and the Parise and the Suter stuff. We knew this was coming a long ways away, did we not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about that is, like, I hate the cap recapture too. Berkey loves it. I hate it. I think it's stupid. You know, those contracts were allowed, and I don't think anybody should be punished for signing a contract that was allowed. But Bettman hated them, and he made it very clear he was going to get people for them, and he did. And Berkey, like I said, Berkey likes it. I hate it. And, you know, I think it's really interesting that they changed it the way they did. It's still going to be a big penalty, but it's just not going to be as big in 1 year. It's going to be bigger over a longer period of time. I hate the whole cap recapture thing. I think if you sign a guy to a contract and Central Registry says, okay, that's a legal contract, you're good. I hate the fact that Canucks have to pay for it. I think it's brutal, but put it this way. There were people who told me the moment that those occurred, they said that there was going to be hell to pay for those. And as wrong as I think it is, that's exactly what happened.
How much of the change then was motivated by just the lack of growth for the league that they're projecting moving forward? Or is this always the intention to carry through with this?
What are you talking about exactly there, Beck?
Just the recapture. As far as, you know, pulling back the punitive damage for a single year. Like, obviously, the league isn't growing as much.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I thought you were talking about maybe the whole CBA. Okay. No, I think they realize that you can't have a situation where, you know, 1 year, a guy's going to be $24 million against your cap. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or whatever it could be. Like,
ridiculous.
I don't know if they ever thought it would get to that, but, you know, I realize, like, now that they're seeing that the cap is getting tighter, even before the pandemic happened, I think people realize that, you know, you can't have this. You know, one of the things we're looking at right now with teams, and the reason they did this CBA is because they knew that if they didn't get a new agreement going into next year, you know, the cap could have been around $66 million, and the players would have been paying between, like, 40% and 70% escrow. So you can't have that. I mean, there's going to be like nobody motivated to play under those circumstances. And it would have been hell on teams to try to be cap compliant. So you have to fix things and make sure, okay, how can we actually make this work? And I'm sure that the whole thing with the cap recapture was the same with that, Vic. They said, look, we want the punishment. We want the punitive damages, because I know that the commissioner hates those deals. But, I mean, I guess it just felt there had to be a more realistic way of doing it.
It's still onerous, too, if it comes to fruition for Minnesota or Nashville, right? It's longer term now. That's the what's,
oh yeah,
I think, getting overlooked, right? Like $7 million for four extra years is not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy, which is why, like, we could see these guys, and this is what the difference was between your situation and kind of everybody else's, is that these guys will go on long-term injury.
Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman joins us on Sportsnet 650. So we all know that, you know, Quinn Hughes is eventually going to get paid here, and same with Elias Pettersson. Flat cap and revenues going
down.
That's
a bold prediction, Walker.
Flat cap and everything like that. Are we going to see, with those guys, like an increased possibility of shorter term deals, but not even for the team, almost demanded by the players and the agents, just because the landscape is so, I guess, barren over the next couple of years?
You know, I'm not necessarily convinced of that. I think, you know, one of the things, like last night, I had one guy just call me and like just scream at me, like, how are you getting this information before we all are? And I'm like, what are you yelling at me for? And he just kind of started laughing. But I was talking to him about that. And I was just saying, you know, what do you think? And he said, and this is somebody who's going to have some big business to deal with. And, you know, he thinks it's too soon to tell. I think, you know, it's interesting that in the new CBA, they kind of streamline the front-loaded deals a bit more, but they haven't done anything with backloading. So I think the bigger question is going to be, Andrew, is are these guys going to say shorter term, or are Hughes and Pettersson going to come to the Canucks and say, we want big-time backloading?
Right.
So the AAV remains the same, but more of the money is on the back end of the deal. Because in theory, well, generally the way the CBA is going to be set up, you know, it goes, escrow is going to go from 20 next year, then it's going to be between 14 and 18 in 2 years, then it's going to be 10, then it's going to be 3 years of 6. And if there's that seventh year, it's going to be 9. So what you're looking at is, are Hughes and Pettersson and guys like them going to say, give me short term? Or they're going to say, no, I want the $10 million AAV, but I want the money later, not right away. Like, you look at Marner, Matthews, a lot of their money, big money, especially the bonuses, is early. Now I think what you might see them do is say, you know what, I'll take my big bonuses and stuff later. And I think that's kind of what teams are bracing for.
What about for GMs? Because obviously the job got significantly tougher for them. Owners are putting real-world money concerns onto their lap for how they want to build their rosters. So with this flat cap, you know, like, mistakes are going to get magnified because percentage of the cap won't go down. Does this accelerate decisions from an owner's perspective on decisions that they want to make on their GMs that might be in no man's land? For instance, you know, in Vancouver, Arizona, Dallas, teams that, like, I'm not convinced that the GM there is going to be there in 3 years. If you're unsure about your guy, can you afford to make another mistake on your books? Is this going to change how owners view their own departments?
Well, I think, Vic, the issue, I'm not sure Arizona's guy's in trouble. I interviewed Gutierrez, the new CEO a couple weeks ago, and I asked him if there was any doubt John Chyka was their guy. He was, like, surprised I asked him a question. So I don't think he's in any trouble there, as far as I can tell. You know, I think that what we're seeing is not necessarily the cap or the CBA is going to change that, but in Buffalo, they made it very clear that they want to do it a new way. I don't know exactly how to read New Jersey's situation, but like, it's kind of weird it's gone on this long. And it says to me that they're kind of still trying to figure out their way. I just get a sense that there's some teams looking at, is there a new way we can do business? Is there a new way we can approach this? And I think that the success that Buffalo and New Jersey do or don't have in these kind of situations might determine how much of a sea change this is. I think the other thing, Bick, right now that is a bit of a thing is, you know, I mentioned this yesterday. I was talking with David Amber. I was talking to an owner, and he was saying that his GM doesn't like the deal because they got no room. And the one thing is that he understands why the GMs feel that way, but he says, how many owners are not as cash strong as they were because of what the pandemic has done to their businesses? And he thinks the commissioner has looked at the overall health of the league and said, this is not a time we can be throwing money around. And so I think the bigger question is going to be, will there be teams that have cap room and they say, look, we just don't have the cash right now? And I think that is probably going to be one of the biggest questions as we move forward on this.
Elliot Friedman joins us on Sportsnet 650. Andrew Walker, Bick Nizar. So your quote the other day, and I'm paraphrasing, I know you hate that, but Vancouver's going to be one of those teams with tough decisions to make. And I think you named three. And so that's one of the things I think that set people off here in the last 24, 48 hours. What would you describe in your mind is at the precipice of the difficult decisions? Are we talking about their UFAs? Are we talking about?
No, I think the biggest questions are going to be like, okay, so you guys are wondering, are Pedersen and Hughes willing to do shorter term? Like, my question is, I have not spoken to either of them. I haven't spoken to their agents or anything like that. Why would you do this? This is just me. Why would they do that?
Why would Pedersen and Hughes
do short term deals? Why?
Well, my guess would be that if there's a vaccine and the NHL returns to play and then the cap starts going up by, you know, $2-3 million, maybe like we thought it would, mm-hmm. you know, maybe the cap is much bigger when their little 2 or 3 year entry or their 2 or 3
year. Yeah, but you know, like I gotta tell you, Andrew, like, okay, maybe you could be right. Like, I don't want to say that you're wrong. Okay, because you might be right. Like I said, I haven't
it's not a hard opinion. I'm just saying.
Like, you could be right. Like, I haven't spoken to these guys or their agents. This is just me talking here. Mm-hmm. Okay, all the guys getting paid now in this league are the guys in their second deals.
Correct.
Okay, and you can sign for 5 years, like Matthews didn't get paid. Now Matthews had a unique situation. I'm 100% sure, and I know the Leafs believed it, that he was getting offer sheeted by the Coyotes that they let him get on July 1st. That was a unique situation. They were stuck. But look what Marner got. Look what McDavid got. Look what Dreisaitl got. Look what a lot of these guys got on their second deals. Maybe the cap doesn't move that far. But do you think, like, if you were representing Quinn Hughes and Pedersen, would you say that's their problem or that's your problem?
It's
the Canucks' problem.
Yes, the team's problem.
Yeah, like, and you know what? Like that's the thing. Like, the way those two guys are going, they deserve to be right up there. They're great players. They got great attitudes, both of them. They're both winners. Like, to me, like when I see those two guys and I realize I'm not around them every day, but from what I see, like if you told me I was going to be the GM of the Vancouver Canucks and you said like your cornerstone guys are Pettersson and Hughes, I'm like, I look at those guys and I think I can win with them. Those are guys who have the right, not only are they great players, but they want to be even better. So they've got everything that you love that you can build around, right? And what's the, and I know it's a pandemic and I know, but look, there's a guy in Kansas City who just signed for $500 million. So what that says to me is if you've got the leverage, you're going to use it. And maybe
especially with the,
and maybe they give the Canucks a bit of a break. Maybe, I don't know. But I know if I'm representing those guys, I'm saying, you know, like, he's your Mahomes. What are you going to do?
Yeah, the lesson I took from yesterday was players are going to value security, right? And so short-term deals for guys, especially in this era, feels kind of weird. In your estimation, though, as far as, you know, how teams perceive things, how receptive are teams going to be to give contracts to players that won't be able to play for them this summer? For instance, Romanov, Kaprizov, or here in Vancouver, someone like Jack Rathbone.
Well, I think that comes down to how much they value the guy, right? Like, do the Canucks? Let me, and you guys are there. I'm not. Okay. Do you guys think that the Canucks value Jack Rathbone?
Yes.
If he wants a contract, then they're going to be interested. Now, you might have to figure out what the path is going to be. Because, you know, did Harvard officially announce nothing until the spring?
It looks like it's trending that way, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen. Whether they officially announce it or not,
yeah.
I was talking to some guys today, it's going to happen. So, like, if you're the Canucks, like, the first thing you're thinking of right now is, where's this guy going to play? You don't want Jack Rathbone sitting for a year. So your first question is, okay, are we going to get some tournaments in Utica with the Comets where they're going to get to play some other team somewhere, and that's going to be enough? Now, one of the things I'm hearing, Bic, is that a number of young players are talking about, with permission of their teams, being loaned to Europe. Could that be a possibility? Does the CHL start on time? Could that be a possibility? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it comes down to if Jack Rathbone says, okay, I'm ready to go pro because there's no point in me being here, then if you're the Canucks and you value him, then you're looking at signing him and figuring out where he's going to play. But I think the biggest question is if Harvard's not going to play for a year, you know, maybe he's got a unique family situation. Maybe he doesn't mind sitting out, but he probably wants to play, and they're going to want him to play. So number one becomes, where is he going to play? And number two becomes, if the kid wants a deal and the Canucks want him, he'll probably get a deal.
Yeah, and for the record, I think they really value him. I know that, we still have the conversations about, you know, and you can't see my eyes rolling here, but Olli Aleviy and Nikita Triamkin
everything I've heard about
people like Jet, yeah,
he's a real deal, and I root for him because of his family story. Sounds like a hell of a guy.
Elliot Friedman joins us. Before we let you go, so you mentioned the $500 million to Patrick Mahomes, and it was funny. I like the story. It was it wasn't one of the, technically speaking, it wasn't Rappaport, it wasn't Adam Schefter. The person that kind of threw it out there into the universe first was a woman who works at a liquor store in Kansas City, and she sold six bottles of Dom to some chief staff and put two and two together and figured out a big Mahomes extension was coming. So Schefter kind of gave her a shout out. She technically kind of broke the story. Have you ever been scooped by somebody odd or gotten an unusual source on a big breaking story?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Tim and Arash asked me about this yesterday, and I had to look it up. I can't say what the trade was, but I did have someone tell me once that they were in like a store, and it was a store that was owned by their parents, And he says, I remember when I found out this was true, I actually said to the guy, can I shout you out on Twitter? And he goes, my dad will kill me. So no. So he says, if you tell this story, don't even say what the business is. But he said he was in his dad's business, and there was someone in there who was connected to a trade, and he told he had to take a call, and because the person trusted this guy's father, he told them what the deal was, and the guy sent me a DM on Twitter and said, you might want to look into this. And actually, it's kind of funny because the general manager in question was like, it's like you just got off the phone. Like, are you bugging our phones? And and so, yes, that has happened. I wanted to give the guy a showdown on Twitter. I will tell you today, another guy sent me a DM today. And he actually, and I probably shouldn't say the trade, but he said that in the past couple of years, his mom was in a beauty salon, and there was a person in there, another woman in there, and she loved the beauty salon. She always, I guess she was a big fan of it, and she says, oh, this is so unfortunate. And the mother goes, oh, okay, what's wrong? And she says, yeah, we're getting traded, and I'm never going to be able to come here again. So I don't want to say the woman was not from Canada. I don't want to say where she was. And the mother, this guy told me, his mom texted him and said, who's a guy from this country who plays for our team? And so he quickly figured it out. And apparently he sent me a screen grab. He tweeted out, like, I think this guy's getting traded. And the next day, I think it was, I broke the trade. And he sent me the screen grab. He said, he told all, with my tweet, and he sent it to all his buddies and said, I told you. So yeah. This actually does happen a little more often than you think.
Yeah. No,
do you just like live in fear? Because I imagine any sport insiders, you all hate getting scooped. But in this regard, is it just funny to you, or you just live in fear of this?
No, I love it. Like people, like, you know, I got to tell you, Vic, like I opened up my DMs a while ago, and most people who put stuff in there, they're really nice people. And if you just send them back a note and say, hey, thanks for this, like, they're so happy. Most people, they just want to know that, like, they played like a small role, or you're paying attention or something like that. It's a fun thing to do. It's a nice thing to try to make somebody's day. And so they just love that you're willing to listen to them. And I've settled bets. I've done things like that. I don't do it a lot because it can be a lot, but I've settled bets and stuff like that. But if someone ever comes at you with a tip, you always double check it, obviously, but you'd be surprised. Like, there's been a few in there where I said, holy cow, like, these guys are way on it faster than I am.
Mm-hmm. He is Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view's better from here. Hopefully things slow down for you a bit. Enjoy the rest of your week off.
You too, guys. Take care. Have a good week.